Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. I'm all alone today, which is kind of a bummer considering yesterday's loss to the Nuggets. A little bit of a come to terms moment. Really has me questioning a little bit where we're at. But hey, you know what? Even without positive Chuck Mockler here, I'm going to try and pick it up. As I said, I'm William the Opinion Updike. I'm here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the freshest Clippers content. We got game previews. We got reviews and recaps of old games. We got some great weekly segments for you, all sorts of content. So please, if you're not already, subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you already are, please leave a comment. It really, really helps out. Leave us a rating, 5 stars. It'd be great. Thanks so much, you guys. I also want to give a shout out to everybody who tuned in on Twitter Live last night for the post-game kind of just chat. We always love to hear from you guys. It's great to get some engagement. So we're going to try to do those at least once a week as time permits. And we also go live every Tuesday for Twitter Tuesdays. So check that out on Twitter at Locked On Clips. We got one heck of a show lined up for you today. I mean, I do. There's no we. I'm just not equipped to saying just me. But anyways, I'm going to start off with a recap of that devastating loss to the Nuggets last night, and then I'm going to get into a preview of tomorrow afternoon's. I hate the afternoon games. Tomorrow's 12:30 p.m. game against the Detroit Pistons. That will be Blake Griffin's first return to Staples, I believe, since the trade. So yeah, some exciting stuff there. And then I'm going to wrap up with our Friday segments. I have got the Pacific Division Power Rankings for you. And then I've also got a very special half-season segment of Love, Marry, Kill, where I'm going to be kind of evaluating the starters, the bench, and the coaching staff from this first half-season of action for the Clippers. So all that and more coming up right about now. All right, so last night, we took a pretty devastating loss to the Nuggets. We went down 100-121. It was a blowout in pretty much every sense of the term. We got outscored every quarter but one, and man, we just didn't look too good. We got outscored by 12 points in the first, and then we weren't really able to ever cut that lead down. If you listen to the pregame, the preview of the game yesterday, basically everything that we said could go wrong went wrong. Jokic had a triple-double. I think he finished with, let me see here, he finished with 18, 14, and 10. So he had a truly monster game. Jamal Murray was also great with 23. We didn't really have an answer for him. Shea actually sat a large portion of this game out, which I thought was, I don't know, really unnerving. He had a big three early on and then two turnovers, unforced turnovers that weren't very good. And Doc kind of sat him for a large portion of time. He ended up finishing with around 20 minutes, but a bunch of his time was kind of played in garbage minutes. Hate to see that. It's just really, really disappointing. The Tobias cushion was unavailable. Gallo really had an uncharacteristically bad shooting night. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it was just him, like, in a slump shooting-wise, or if it was fully attributable to Denver's defense. Probably some combination of both. But Gallo ended up going 1-for-7 on contested field goal attempts. As I said, some quick stats for you. They did outscore us by 12 on the first. As I said, we were never really able to bounce back from that. We were just constantly at a loss. We never really cut it down to closer than 7, I think, from really that point on. Denver shot for almost 40% from 3 and finished with a 51% field goal percentage, which, man, you'd be hard-pressed to win a game when your opponent's shooting lines or something like that. So it's really disappointing. We were well under our 116-point average at 100 even. So that's definitely a huge disappointment. And we also shot 25% from 3. A lot of not great stuff. I hate to be a bummer for you guys, but I got to get into some of these not bright points. We had 6 turnovers in the first quarter. It was really bad. As I said, 2 of those were Shea. But Lou also had a couple. It just wasn't, it seemed like the communication really wasn't there. There was one instance where I believe Lou was looking for Mike Scott, and Mike Scott was in the corner, and then he cut in, and Lou, you know, had expected him to be there to drain the three, and he wasn't. Not a great night for Mike Scott overall. Our starters were pretty anemic throughout the whole game. Gallo and Toby started really strong. Gallo had 12 and Toby had 10 in the first half. And then they only managed a combined 14 points in the second half. Gallo had 6 and Toby had 8. Man, you really hate to see that. We didn't get to the line as much as we normally do, which is, you know, it's a bummer. It's a huge part of the identity of this team. So the bench was able to keep us in the game, but they really struggled to get any sort of footing. It was partially due to Plumlee, who had a really solid game, and Beasley, who was a great scorer for them. But I was really surprised. Our bench did end up outscoring their bench by a narrow margin. It was 53-43, Clippers bench. And we just weren't able to get a strong lead. Within 10 points, I feel like, is a little bit disappointing for our bench. Lou Will had 19, led all scorers. But other than that, it just wasn't really, really there. So that's a huge disappointment. I think the biggest negative spot from this game, and it has been for a while, so we need to address it, is the Avery Bradley problem. So he shot 16% from the field last night. He finished with 2 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, and 2 steals, but that's just still not enough output for 26 minutes of playing time. I don't know why Doc is still leaning so heavily on him. At this point, you know, early on we wanted to say that it was like to bolster his trade value, but I don't know what it's bolstering at this point. He's currently averaging 29 minutes per game on the season, which is the third most of any Clipper, behind only Toby and Gallo. And he's averaging 7-2-2 on 29% three-point shooting and overall 38% field goal percentage, which is awful. So truly awful for someone that you expect to be a starter on a team that is, you know, most likely a playoff team, and we would like to be, you know, somewhat competitive. But the only player on the Clippers team that gets regular minutes is actually Trez, which, if Trez is the only player that has a worse three-point percentage than you, you're doing something wrong. I just don't know what to say. He's supposed to be like this 3-and-D guy. We were promised that he was like one of the best on-ball defenders in the league, and that may have been at one point. However, I think at half a season in, it's pretty easy to assess that that's not the situation, and I don't know what the situation is going to be. I don't know what it's going to take to get Avery Bradley out of this lineup, barring an injury or something. And, you know, I would never want that to happen to any of our players, but it's just such a bummer. Some more depressing Avery Bradley stats. He is the lowest effective field goal percentage on the team at around 43%, which is just truly awful for someone who's averaging nearly 30 minutes a game. So here's the other thing is we keep talking about Avery Bradley's defense. Every time Doc is quick to come, he's quick to come to Avery's defense on the premise of, no pun intended, his defense. But it's not that great. I mean, so all starters except for Gortat average more steals a game than Avery Bradley. And he's tied. Avery Bradley is also tied with Gallo and Trez for the fifth most turnovers a game on probably half the amount of touches either one of those guys receive. That's the thing, too. Like, his number of touches per game is relatively low, which I think just also, you know, also is a glaring indication that he's not effective, you know, and you can say that maybe he's not getting enough touches, but you would be sorely mistaken. I think that players are hesitant to pass to him. I think that plays aren't really constructed to go to him because he's so inefficient offensively. So I don't really know what to say. He's just getting way too many minutes, and I'm not sure what to do. The sample size, I feel like, is very complete at this point, and I don't know what we're doing, you know? We sat Shea for so much time last night. He played a bunch of garbage minutes. We just have so many other guards, and we have guys who can do two-way stuff. I mean, I would just like to see a shakeup of the starting lineup and have Pat Beverly and Shea in the starting lineup and then just have Bradley coming off the bench. I think that it would be both... I think that it would be a move that would like maybe light a fire under him to, I don't know, be better. I'm not really even sure what he can do. You know, maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. And that's unfortunate. But he can't continue to eat up so many minutes as a starter. So that's really all I got for the Nuggets game, you guys. Sorry that it's a little bit of a downer, but I don't know, man. The Avery Bradley stuff a little bit. I just feel like I was so high on Doc coming into this season. He really proved a lot to me last year that he can work with young guys. But it just, especially last night, I just felt like the development wasn't there. He wasn't letting Shea play through any sort of mistakes. And Avery Bradley was garbage and still out there for the majority of the game. So anyways, next up, I'm going to be getting into a preview of the upcoming action against the Pistons. All right, so Clippers v. Pistons. This is going to be Blake's return, which I imagine will go pretty well. I'm sure we'll have a nice little video tribute for him. I think it'll be pretty much all love from the fans. I don't know who's going to be mad at Blake. You know, this wasn't a situation, obviously, where he demanded a trade or anything. It seems like maybe he was a little blindsided, but, you know, who's to say? It kind of left me wondering, though. I wonder if his jersey will be retired here. So, just a weird little note, historically, there's no Clippers jerseys that are currently retired, which I guess makes a little bit of sense just given the nature of how players kind of come in and out of this franchise. But I would say that he's definitely a strong candidate to be retired here. Granted, we never did make it to a conference finals with him or anything, but he was really solid. And not only just as a player, you know, he did go through his injury troubles and there was some off the court stuff, most notably a fist fight with an equipment manager, but he still brought this team into relevancy. You know, that first round draft pick was huge for us and he was huge for this organization. So, you know, I definitely wouldn't be disappointed if Blake's jersey did end up retired. So, just looking at this matchup, the Pistons currently have the 24th ranked offense in the league, and they have about a league average defense. Their average points per game is around 3 points under what teams average scoring against them. So as you might guess, they have a losing record. They are still kind of in the mix for the playoffs in the East, which is mind-blowing to me how you can have a losing record and you're still in the mix for the playoffs somehow. So truly, truly disheartening. Why's the West got to be so hard, man? But yeah, they are currently sitting at the 9th seed, and they are, well, it looks like they're about 2 games behind the Hornets. So who knows if they're going to be able to get that slot. Only time will tell. But let's get into some keys for victory for this game. I think that rebounds, I mean, we say this every single game, but they're going to be huge. They're in the top 10 of the league in offensive rebounds. So especially on the defensive end, we're going to really need to be aggressive. We're going to need to box out and really, you know, fight for those rebounds away from their big two, obviously being Drummond and Blake Griffin. I think that's going to be really difficult. Second chance points are going to be so clutch. They give up a decent amount of second chance opportunities. So I think they average around, opponents are averaging around 9 against them. So I would like to see the number of second chance points at least in the high teens. We'll see if we can do that. You know, we're generally not the greatest rebounding team, but I think giving us more shots with how efficient this offense can be definitely, you know, puts us in strong contention for the win column. We got to get to the line. They're in the bottom 10 in terms of fouls per game, so they do commit a lot. We need to capitalize off this. I'm especially looking at Lou Will and Gallo, obviously, but it'd be great to see Tobias get to the line more. Obviously, Trez is probably going to spend a decent amount of time at the line, so I hope that he can shoot. I hope that he can continue to shoot for around 70%, if not better. That'd be wonderful. And we got to move the ball. They weirdly defend the three better than anyone in the league. I think that makes sense given that it is Dwayne Casey, and you know the Raptors had a really great spacing offense. And Rex Kalamian was their former defensive coordinator. It's been said that Dwayne Casey is not really that defensively oriented, but it seems like maybe some of those practices from the Raptors have carried over there in Detroit, and they are, yeah, like I said, leading the league in both fewest amount of 3 points attempted by an opponent, and also the percentage is very low. So we're really going to need to make the most of any of those looks. So what could go wrong in this game? If we go cold from outside, I don't think it's going to be an easy victory. We're not going to get a whole lot of looks, as I said, so if we really need to be capitalizing on every single one of those, which is going to be a team effort, but it's going to be especially up to Tobias and Gallo. They need to really have a breakout night. I hope the Tobio cushion, which if you're a new listener, is Tobias and Gallo. They combine as one bean, and anytime they're combining for 45 points, we're most likely going to win the game. So hopefully we can see that in full effect on Saturday. So what else could go wrong? Blake rested last night, and you know, maybe that'll charge him up. He could go supernova on us. I don't really know. And then another one that I think could go wrong is Dwayne Casey just out coaches Doc. If you can't tell, I'm feeling a little bit negative on Doc as of current. I think that he's been decent on the season, and I have been pleased to see Shea in the starting lineup. But I do think that Dwayne Casey might have some tricks up his sleeve, and I hope that Doc can counter. So let's get into some key matchups for this game. Gallo versus Blake. I think this is going to be huge. Assuming that Blake is playing, as I said, he did sit out last night for rest. How will he stack up against the strongest man in the league? You know, strongest man in the league, obviously being Gallo. I weirdly kind of like this matchup for Gallo. Blake can do a lot. You know, he can shoot. He can kind of shoot the three. He can handle the ball a little well. But Gallo also does all those things the same, if not better. Obviously, much better from three. So I don't know. I'm excited to see how that goes. I want to see Gallo. You know, he's not known for being a good defender, but I think that when the rest is there and the energy is there, he definitely always lays out a good effort, which, you know, is a big part of defense. I mean, in my opinion, just in general. So other key matchups, Drummond versus whoever. The guy is a monster on the boards. I don't know if maybe formerly coaching DeAndre Jordan will give Doc some insights on maybe how we can effectively rebound against them, but he's currently averaging 15 a game, which is going to be very hard to make up the difference for. So bench versus bench is going to be really clutch, as it is every game. You know, we really depend a lot on our bench to exploit leads against lesser second units. And our team is a lot deeper than theirs. They kind of have a pretty steep fall off offensively after their starters and like a couple key rotation guys. So we're going to need to exploit this in non-starter minutes. And this is going to be especially important because their starters are somewhat higher scoring than ours, obviously given the net negative Avery Bradley and the inconsistent Marcin Gortat. So the bench is really going to be responsible, I think, for ultimately winning this game. I'm also excited to see the Reggies, which are Bullock and Jackson, against Shea and the problem being Avery Bradley. So the Reggies combined for 27-3-4 versus Shea and Bradley, who combined for 18-5-5. But I'm hoping that the defense will be there. Man, I'm just hoping that Avery Bradley is able to prove me wrong. Hasn't happened lately, but you know, he could always surprise us maybe. So my prediction for this game, I think that the loss last night is kind of going to galvanize us. I hope that the team is communicating better. I hope that the energy is a lot better. And, you know, hopefully we're back at home. If you're going to the game, please be loud. Please chant on those clips. They need the support. But I think that we're going to end up winning this one 123-108. Get at me on Twitter. Get at Locked On Clips. Let us know what you think. Do you think this could be a close game? Do you think that we're in danger of losing this at all? All right, so next up, I'm going to get into the Friday segment, which is Pacific Division Power Rankings and Love, Marry, Kill. All right, so a little bit of movement in the Pacific Division. So despite the loss last night, I still got the Clippers at number one. And here's why. They have the best record in the Pacific Division against other Pacific Division teams. They're currently 7-1. Only the Kings have played more Western Conference teams than us, which I think speaks to the strength of our schedule. We're still hanging in there. You know, we've dropped down to the fifth spot, but given how hard our schedule has been, I do think that we've still had a really strong performance. I don't want to get down too hard on it. So at second place, we got the Warriors. Interesting note about the Warriors, they're currently 0-4 in overtime games, which is kind of interesting. You would think a team like the Warriors, who, you know, have been together for so long, would really be able to close it out, especially given the star power that they have. We, on the flip side, are actually 4-0 in overtime games, still undefeated in OT. So, you know, way to go, Clips. The Warriors are also 6-5 in their last 10 games, which is identical to our record over the same stretch. So, you know, they're close too, but I still am putting the Clippers ahead of them, you know, because they're better. What are you going to do? A distant third, we got the Lakers. They're on a little bit of a win streak, but they're 4-6 in their last 10, and their third best record in the division at 5-2. Obviously, they're still hurting with LeBron out. You know, maybe they could make a jump in this when he's back. We'll see. We'll see what happens. The Kings, I have behind the Lakers, but very, very close. They're about 2 games behind in the standings, but to me, they're neck and neck. So let's big shout out to our sister team, the Sacramento Kings. Suns, obviously in last place. I'm sorry, guys. They just don't really have a whole lot to look forward to right now. They could turn things around. You know, they do have a lot of assets, which I feel like is what I'm constantly saying about the Suns. You know, the plus side is they do have a lot of assets, which, you know, at some point, let's hope that they can turn into something, whether they can develop these prospects, whether they can package some sort of trade for an all-star, which I don't really see happening, but who knows? They need something, man. They probably need another point guard. They need a lot. They need more consistent contributions, but hey, I guess that's what happens when you have a bunch of young guys. You don't really know what you're going to get. So let's move on to everybody's favorite segment, my favorite segment at least, Love, Marry, Kill. So in case you didn't know, last night against the Nuggets matched our exact half season. So with that in mind, I think that it would be pertinent to take a little look at where we are thus far on the season. So this week's edition of Love, Marry, Kill is going to be the starters, the bench, and our coach. So this one, my love is like a little bit, it's a little bit weird, which makes it, I think, a true love or infatuation candidate. I'm loving the starters, and I know that this really only applies to like 3/5 of the starters, but I'm loving that 3/5. Toby and Gallo have been so solid all season, and while there are things that I would like to see, especially maybe some more clutch points, and I would like to see Toby get to the line a lot more, I am really loving their game. I am really loving the way that, you know, Shea is working with both of them. I'm loving Shea's development. But, you know, I'm not ready to commit, obviously, because there's some red flags, you know? It's like when maybe you have a new lover and you go over to their house and their mattress is on the floor or something. There's some stuff that's not quite right there. I'm loving parts of it, but other parts are, a little bit dicey, a little bit unpleasant. So, who am I marrying? I think it's pretty obvious. I think everybody, if you listen to this show, if you're a fan of the Clippers, you got to be in the same boat as me. I'm marrying this bench. They have had some struggles lately, especially given Mike Scott's kind of shooting slump. Trez, you know, isn't always the greatest free throw shooter, but he, you know, he has been really solid. Lou Will, I mean, what's not to love about Lou Will? The man can basically score anytime he wants. He's great. The bench is great. That we can expect so much out of them every time. Like, our bench is so good that when we outscore other benches by only 10 points, I'm disappointed. That's marriage material. I'm telling you, they're still beating other teams, and I'm only upset because they could be beating them even harder. That's who you want to be with. That's who you want to stay with long term. So the kill on this one is hard. And I did go back and forth, but there's just too much to like about the starters to warrant killing them. So I'm killing the coaching staff right now. Look, I think that Doc can still get it right. I'm sure that he can. But his reliance on Avery Bradley kind of makes me feel like he's still hung up on an ex. You know what I mean? He's still texting with the Celtics or something. And I don't like it. I will have no part of it. I will not be a party to someone who's still hung up on their ex. I got to kill him. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Rex Kalamian, he's like, I don't know, man. I think he's doing his best, but he's trying to tweak the defensive schemes. To his credit, they wanted to work on transition defense and defending the fast break better. They have been better in the last couple of games since they specifically addressed it. They're still not defending the three as well as they should, which I don't understand, just given like Rex Kalamian's background, and that's like a huge part of his system. So, man, gotta kill the coach. You know, it's just what it comes down to. But I'm confident that they can get it right. And maybe at the end of the season, when we redo this segment, things will change up a bit. So that's about it. That's all I got for you today, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. So on Monday, we're going to be back at you. We'll have a recap of that hopeful victory against the Pistons. We'll have our regular Monday segment, The Freshies, which is kind of our rookie report and just new player report in general. And probably some other good stuff for you. Maybe an NBA recap. Maybe something else. Who knows? But I have been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Oh, and just a heads up. If you're using a smart speaker, be sure to say, hey, Alexa, play Locked On Clippers. And it'll play it for you right away. Especially, I think you might have to be subscribed. But try it out. It's cool, man. We're living in the future. It's crazy. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. You're the best.